Do you want to look at foods that are healthy? Do you want to look at foods that are convenient? Or do you want to look at foods that are affordable? You can't have all three all the time. So try to choose two out of those three. But if most of the time we're going to choose health as one of those two components, it's always going to be a better option.
Good day. Welcome to Ripples, Physicians Wellbeing, a space to discuss coping with stressors while training in the field of medicine and tips for overall wellness.
Learn more about the Wellness Home Services at gmuwellness.utesca.edu. And don't forget to subscribe to stay updated with new episodes wherever you enjoy podcasts. Hello, hello. Welcome back. And thank you so much, Vina. Last month's episode got the most view, the most likes, and the most listens in our short history.
That's right.
So we're very thankful to our audience for that. And we do this with the hopes that we can offer you important, relevant, and practical information to take care of their wellness. So this is the best for us, that people are actually listening and hopefully putting into practice.
Sure, we take message to them and in the hopes that they would use it.
Yep.
Yes. Today I'm so excited to invite our friend, Mrs. Vijaya Botla. She is the president of Alamo Nutrition Consultants.
Yes.
And the lead clinician. She is very passionate to do things in the community. She's always involved in healthy eating, things like that.
Thank you so much, Vina, and thank you, Adriana, for having me here today.
Thank you.
As you know, we are exploring the ways in which we offer well-being for our residents, and we help them in their journey into wellness. We want to know from you how people can, residents can use ways in which they can feel comfortable in eating that's healthy. So I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Yes. So the first one is, in your practice, I know you see a lot of residents, and you also mentioned medical students and physicians. What are some common concerns? And the follow-up question I also say is, you know how stressful medical school and residency, that's the hardest part of being a physician. So all our residents say that, oh, we don't have time to eat healthy. We don't have time. We'll eat whatever we get our hands on. So what can they do to eat healthy, still go through that stressful period?
Yes, and I think that's an excellent question, especially since 2020. I think that stress has compounded, you know, tenfold. And, you know, whatever lifestyle changes they made during 2020 has only continued, you know, even though, you know, things might have changed, you know, some things have become more lax with, you know, our society. I think that those eating habits have not changed. And a lot of times, you know, under high stress situations, a lot of times, especially healthcare workers, they're going to put their personal needs to the back burner. So they will skip meals and things like that because they don't have time. They always want to put the health, you know, and well-being of their patients before themselves, you know, or their studies before themselves for medical students. And so I think that that's a huge thing. And so then when they do finally get time to eat, you know, they're probably overeating and they're probably eating foods that are convenient and readily available. And a lot of times those foods are high in fat, high in salt, high in sugar, or sometimes a combination of all of those.
Yes.
And so it's very difficult. So whenever I talk to people, I always try to tell them, you want to look at three things. You know, do you want to look at foods that are healthy? Do you want to look at foods that are convenient? Or do you want to look at foods that are affordable? You can't have all three all the time. So try to choose two out of those three. So if it's healthy and convenient, guess what? It's probably not going to be affordable, which means you're going to probably head a meal service or, you know, go to a restaurant or a store that sells prepared foods that are more nutrient dense. Or if it's healthy and affordable, it's probably not convenient. So you're going to have to do a lot of meal prepping at home and make your own foods, purchase that, you know, the ingredients to make this food. Or if you want something that's affordable and convenient, it's probably not going to be healthy. That's more like fast food, you know? So, but none of those three options are bad, because we do that all the time. And I think that's normal not to feel guilty about doing that. But if most of the time we're going to choose health as one of those two components, it's always going to be a better option. And if we kind of go into that mindset, like don't guilt yourself or feel bad about, you know, eating out more, just try to change it and see how we can do that.
And I love that you're talking about guilt, because that was my question for the next question.
So many people have it.
Yeah, we have developed this shame and guilt around food.
Right.
And that from the mental health perspective mm-hmm. can cause a lot of trouble. So I just wanted to hear from you more specific advice about that. How do we develop a healthy relationship with food?
And so the first thing is, like we had mentioned, not feeling guilty about that. But it's really like, you know, just like we tell our patients, you know, hey, you have to put your health, you know, in the forefront. We're our worst patients, you know.
Yes,
many times
so
physicians
so
are,
true.
You know, are the worst patients. They, you know, they don't always practice what they preach. So really making time for yourself, like, you know, just like with Dr. Koshik, making that 1 minute of time, you know, to take care of ourselves, just like that. If you just kind of think on those days that you have off, hey, if I do a little bit of prep right now, it would make my life so much easier on the days that I'm busy, you know. Like if you get, you know, vegetables or fruit, you know, wash them. Have them prepped, have them in the refrigerator, mm-hmm, ready to go. Mm-hmm. So when you get home, you're not like, there's nothing to eat. There's food, but not food I can eat right away, you know? And so I have, so if you're meal prepping, you know, and meal prepping, people think it's exhausting, but it can be very easy. You can buy vegetables that are pre-chopped if that's really a thing. That's still cheaper than going out and purchasing something. And so, you know, just kind of coming up with a plan, maybe you like certain foods, you know, not everybody loves fruits and vegetables, but you can, you know, incorporate the fruits and vegetables that you do like. And, you know, just add and still eat healthy, you know, and then always we want to look at, does our my meal, you know, like when you're eating out, does it have like a complex carb? Does it have a good source of protein? Does it have a healthy fat? If it has those three components, I think you're doing a good job.
I love that you're saying that because I remember when I moved to this country and saw for the first time, you know, chopped vegetables and chopped
yes.
fruit, I felt guilty buying them, but sometimes that makes your
it
life easier.
It saves so much better. And it makes you better, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And I also, and along that same thing, like sometimes we'll buy fresh fruits and vegetables with the best of intentions. All it takes is one moldy blueberry to ruin the whole pack.
And that's
you know, and then you're like, I'm never going to buy these blueberries again.
Yeah.
I spent like $5. So,
that
you know,
so
I
true.
Highly
yeah.
encourage people, you know, get frozen fruits and vegetables then, you know, because frozen is still a good option. You know, they're picked and usually frozen within 24 hours of picking, mm-hmm, you know, so you can still have those. And usually those don't go bad. So those
exactly.
are a great options. You know, I always try to give my patients, even if they say, all I have is canned vegetables, you know, a lot of canned vegetables now come in no salt added, you know, so you can buy a healthier version of, you know, a lot of these. Do we encourage that? Not as much. But if that's your only option, 100% I agree with it.
Many times we think that, oh my God, I have to eat canned food. But occasionally it's okay to eat canned food and you can still eat healthy. And I also would like you to tell us about, you know, how to eat on a budget, which mm-hmm. you kind of already alluded to.
Yes.
But if somebody says, oh, at residency, we don't make a lot of money. How am I going to, I don't have time to meal prep, but can I buy some food, maybe ready microwave meals? And then is that still healthy to eat? And I'll also add a follow-up question. It's important that, you know, some people go through their comfort food. That mm-hmm. when they are stressed out, and that can be their ethnic diet.
Yes.
And that is another thing. They say, well, if I have to eat my diet, my food, ethnic food, I cannot eat healthy. So can they do that and still eat healthy and just go back to our comfort?
Well, that's a big question that you asked.
I know.
So we'll just take it step by step,
yes.
you know, in that affordability. You know, my daughter is a resident right now, and she always looks at that, you know, like, hey, you know, I'm not making a lot of money. You know, people
yes.
might think that. And so she always kind of looks for that. And I always tell people, you know, meal prepping can be hard, but you cook once and you eat like 3-4 times. So it, in the long run, it really does save you a lot of time, you know,
yes.
and a lot of times if you don't want to eat the same thing over and over, I'll tell people make something or at least have the ingredients ready so that you can do like an omelet, you know, an omelet is so easy to make. You have eggs, you have your vegetables pre-cut, boom, just add them in there and you have, you know, a good source of protein. Also hummus, you know, hummus is a great ethnic food that we just
That's
talked
true.
Like I was telling Vina before the show, like who knew 10 years ago that hummus would be like something normally
so
that we talk about,
right?
That
Amazing.
it's a common food now, you know,
yes.
and that's an ethnic food that is a wonderful source of vegetarian protein, you know,
yes.
and it's very easy. You can put that on a whole grain wrap, you know, add some, you know, baby spinach or cucumbers and roll it up and boom, you have a complete meal.
I actually love buying the cauliflower that comes already pre-cut.
Yes.
And I eat it with the hummus.
Yes.
And it's my go-to snack.
And it's a wonderful mm-hmm. thing. And it's the mm-hmm. same way. And it's very affordable. you know? Yes. And, you know, you can even make hummus. It is actually very affordable to make it as well. And then you know exactly what ingredients you're putting. But buying it, you know, one of these like nutrient dense foods, I highly recommend it. Our resident population now is also very international. So we're seeing, you know, all these foods.
That's very true.
Like, who knew what lentils were? Now, you know, at Costco, I can buy a box that says Madras lentils on it, you know, and it's a common food. And so these kinds of lentils are a wonderful source of protein and very, very affordable, you know, and it's very easy to cook as well. And they last beautifully, you know, in the refrigerator. You can freeze them as well after you cook them. So lentils, you know, any type of, you know, beans, you know, a lot of, you know,
that's true.
Beans are not only used in Indian culture, they're used in Middle Eastern culture, South American culture. So beans, again, are a wonderful source. And if you don't really want to cook them, you can easily buy them canned as well, you know, and drain them, wash them a little bit if they're salted. If they're not, you know, they're a wonderful source. You know, of course, cooking everything from scratch is, you know, our number one thing, but convenience and affordability, a can of beans is a dollar. I mean, what costs a dollar nowadays? Not even, you know, there's no dollar menus anymore. Even the Dollar Tree is $1.25. Exactly. You know, so I just always tell people there is a lot of affordable foods that are still very ethnically thing because they provide so much comfort for us. You know, eating like, you know, I'm Indian, so eating like dal, which is like a lentil with rice, is like such a comfort food for us. You know, and it's a complete protein. It is a complete meal. It has a complex carb. It has, you know, it has a protein source and has healthy fats. I mean, there's a lot of really good stuff that, you know, people don't realize that we can do, and kind of going around that ethnic foods, you know, exploring those things, going out and finding foods. I don't know if a lot of people have ever tried injera bread. You know, it's like an Ethiopian bread, and it's a fermented bread, so it is a probiotic. It's gluten free because it's made with teff flour, and it's pretty affordable. You know, there's a local store here called Alibaba right here at 410. I mean, I-10 and Wurzbach that sells it. You know, that premium. Oh, wow. So it's a great way to try, you know, something new thing. They use it in, you know, ethnically with their stews, with their meats and other stuff. So maybe if you're making like some kind of, you know, dish, you can have it as an, you know, another source and trying new foods out. And that's actually very healthy. It's a great source of protein. It's a great source of fiber and it's gluten free. And a lot of people who are doing that. Yeah, it's just something. And it has a sour taste. So it's a great probiotic as well. So it's just, you know, all these things that people don't realize that are right here available to us.
So many things in one. Wow. Yeah,
that we don't really know. So I hope that people will open up themselves to trying new foods as well. Because I think it expands our palate.
Yeah. Right?
And you never know what you're going to find because I'm not Indian. But Indian food is my comfort food.
Yes.
I love it. Veena knows. Before I was working here in San Antonio, I used to come and text Veena, where should I go eat? We love Indian food. And I had never tried it until I moved to the United States. And it turns out that it's one of my favorites. So
and
yes,
now
it's
much more, you know, acceptable, a lot of these foods. I think at one time, I think Chinese and Mexican were the only two. And, you know, Taco Bell was the only form of Mexican food. Now we have so many places that we're getting more regional kinds of foods. And we're opening up ourselves that it's not all just, you know, a tortilla and cheese, you know, and beans. Yes. Not that that's anything bad. But, you know, there are so many other ethnic varieties of South American foods.
And I hear you saying that, Vijaya, and I hear you, you know, talking about mixed complex carbs and proteins and things. So what do you think about these diets that are, you know, concentrating all on fat or don't eat any fat and eat all carbs?
So this is my take on anything. So if this is a way of eating that you can do forever, then it's the right diet for you. But I think when you are restricting a complete food group, how long is that sustainable for? It might work, you know, for the short term, but I'm always looking at long term. You know, long term is really where we want to be. And if it's something, if you can't eat bread for the rest of your life and you're okay with that, then more power to you. I can't do that. So I like to have everything.
You want variety.
So really, I want to try to teach people, you know, moderation. You can have anything you want, you know, but you have to eat it in a way and really always try to look for nutrient-dense foods. Nutrient-dense foods are what you want to concentrate the majority of the time on. If you are eating that 80% of the time, the 20% that you're wanting a cookie or a brownie, it's not going to make a difference.
How do we recognize those nutrient-dense foods?
So a good way of for us to do is, you know, looking for foods that are really high in fiber. You know, the average American only eats about 6 to 9 grams of fiber a day. And really, we need to be eating 25 to 35 grams. Wow. That is a huge gap. That's a big gap. And so how do we do that is really you want to look for those foods that are good fiber sources. So those are going to be things like, you know, whole grains, you know, even popcorn is considered a whole grain. Yeah. Popcorn, wheat bread, you know, oatmeal, fruits, you know, fruits, especially with the skin that you eat, you know, are really high in fiber. Vegetables are a good fiber source. Things like beans, you know, kidney beans, garbanzo beans, black beans, great source of fiber. Chia seeds are also another one. So you want to try to incorporate some source of fiber into your diet. You know, every meal, just to ask yourself, hey, how can I add fiber to this? So it might be, you know, having a piece of fruit with your breakfast, you know, and then at lunch, maybe it's having, you know, some veggies in there. And at night, you know, what do you think is another good source of fiber to add in? It could be like a whole grain pasta, you know, or something else like that. Sometimes it can be a mix of three. Like I love to tell people, think about doing like overnight oats for breakfast. It's a quick and easy meal. You don't have to cook it. You know, you mix these ingredients at night and magically overnight you get
That's
breakfast.
True.
Yes. And so, and you can do it multiple times. And so, you know, you have oats in there. Sometimes I'll tell people to add chia seeds and then maybe some fruit. And guess what? You have probably a super fiber packed meal with, you know, sometimes between 14 and 16 grams of, you know, fiber
in just one meal.
Yeah. You've already met almost your entire goal from that one meal. You are starting off on the right foot. So it's very easy to do. You just have to kind of think to yourself, hey, if I don't have fiber in this meal, how can I get it? You know, and that's a great way to start, you know, kind of making small changes that it has a ripple effect. Yeah. I love using that term. I've been waiting to say that all day.
Then ripple effect. Oh my gosh. Yes. This is great.
This is so motivating, believe it or not. Because I think I go through these wages in which I'm doing my best to eat as healthy as possible and then stress life gets
and you know as
way,
physicians you know and healthcare workers in general, you know, we're always treating the disease, chronic disease, after it's happened. Why don't we think about preventing it, like you know, start these kinds of habits now so that we don't lead to you know, diabetes, we don't have chronic heart disease and all that. I don't think that that's, you know, sometimes everybody's concern, you know, but if making even one small change, you're going to change the course of your life and health later on.
And Vijaya, I know among all the other hats you wear, you also run marathons. And in a way, residency, even medical school, is similar to running a marathon.
Absolutely.
It's so much endurance you need. And then you can say that, how do I keep myself healthy and also in the track of being well, well-being, what are some things you can recommend? You already talked about it, but in terms of food, what are some things that
absolutely
can help you
fueling
sustain?
Your body correctly is going to get you through. If you are not eating the right foods during your training, you know, during the race, you are not going to finish that race, or you're going to feel horrible at the end of it, you know, and recovery is going to be very, very slow.
Sure.
So that same way, you know, really fueling your body, you know, the right way when you are in stressful situations. And along with that, a lot of times that people don't realize that exercise is one of the best antidepressants, you know, out there that we don't utilize at all, you know. And so think about, you know, starting something like, you know, start an exercise. Like you were just mentioning that you did yoga right before this and you look fabulous right now.
Thank
so that
you.
Tells you you can do it and still look fabulous 30 minutes later, you know, just, you know, really be mindful of small changes that you can make for your overall health. I don't think, you know, like I constantly kind of harbor back to that is that we are very short-sighted. We just want to get through the today. We just want to get through this week. You know, we don't look at the long-term effects, but I really do feel like, you know, think about, you know, can I on Sunday, if I'm not working, can I do a little something extra, an hour extra, carve it out to get ready for that week so that I'm making better choices? Have staples in your pantry that you can always pull from. Have oatmeal, have canned beans, you know, have your refrigerator stocked with, you know, frozen vegetables and fruits, you know, if that's something as a backup for what you don't have. Have eggs, you know, eggs are a very easy and affordable. All of these foods that I'm talking about are relatively, maybe not so much now, eggs, but in general, they're still very, very affordable. Uh-huh. You can have a lot of really good foods. Have the hummus and thing. Those things don't go bad very quickly. So have these foods ready so that in case something happens, You know,
yes. you have that fallback.
Yeah, have it a fallback. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So, Vijaya, you have given us so many tips, but we like to end this podcast episode with one tip that is what we call the pebble, right?
Yes.
You throw the pebble in the water, that creates the ripple effect. So what are you leaving with us today? What is that pebble that you're throwing in the water?
So I've been thinking about this, and I think a great pebble maybe that we can do is walk ourselves through how to create a good meal, a nutrient-dense meal.
Yes.
So let's start off with breakfast, you know, which is, you know, a lot of times what a lot of people might want to skip, but something quick and easy that we can do. So think about, you know, having a complex carb in it, a good source of protein, and healthy fat. Because remember, and a bonus is to have fiber in it. So think about getting, for a good, quick, and easy breakfast might be cooking an egg, you know, putting it on a piece of whole grain bread and putting some avocado on it. That has a complex carb, an egg, and avocado. And if we're looking for a vegetarian option, it could be the slice of bread with some peanut butter and then having a piece of fruit. And then the peanut butter acts as the protein and the healthy fat. And then you have the bread and then your extra fiber is going to be the fruit. So that's a very easy, quick, and easy way to do it. You know, if you think in those terms, it's so easy to build, you know, a healthy diet.
That is wonderful, Vijaya. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was so wonderful to be here with you. Thank you, Vina. Thank you, Adriana,
thank
for
you
having
so much.
So you all heard that. Now go and create some ripples.
Some ripples.
Ripples Physicians Wellbeing is made possible by the Joe R. and Teresa Lozano Long School of Medicine Office for Graduate Medical Education. To contact us or learn more about the Wellness Home, visit gmewellness.utesca.edu.
This podcast is inspired by the Dalai Lama's powerful quote, "Just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects." We provide physicians with pebbles, tangible and actionable practices that can help make positive impacts in their personal and professional lives.